thank God for all the ways that they have impacted our lives and made a difference. And I was so happy when Brother Urshan gave some time to be with us here this morning. He's been very busy, been on the road. I'm glad the schedule permitted him to be here, right here at Calvary Tabernacle. He's our pastor emeritus. He is the International Harvest Time speaker. And if you are not catching that broadcast and praying for it every week, you need to do so. And of course, we know over the past two decades or more, he's been serving as the general superintendent of the United Pentecostal Church International. And few men living today have impacted the Pentecostal movement more than Nathaniel A. Urshan. Would you give him a great big welcome as he comes to preach to us? Brother Urshan.
It's great to be in Calvary. It's great to be at Calvary. It's great to have such a thing as Calvary. And it's wonderful to be in Calvary Tabernacle. Everything ought to be called Calvary. And I'm very happy to be with Pastor Mooney. He is doing such a great work. He and his wife are such examples of Christianity. Very seldom come to this church, but Sister Mooney asked me the question, is there anything you need? Well, I'm going to give her a need one of these days. And I hope she can fulfill it. But she always asks that question. I haven't been in need at this point. But I'm certain that as I grow older, I will be in need. So Sister Mooney, keep asking. I'm always glad when I come to Calvary Tabernacle to see an old friend in this audience, Officer Herbert Alvey. I'm always glad to see him here. And I'm glad to know that when someone drives a police car through this city, it's a saint of God. He took me with him on a Saturday night. He said, I want you to see on a Saturday night what happens in this city. Well, that night everything happened. I will never forget it. One murder, others stealing, all kinds of things. And he had me standing with my hands in my pockets in the doorway of a place where the murder had taken place, making off like I was a policeman. I was standing up there with my hands in my pocket, shaking, because it looked like a pretty rough place. But I was so glad when those police cars came up, about five of them. I was so glad. I was never gladder to see a policeman all my life that night. But it's always great to see Brother Herbert Alvey. I'm going to call your attention to the book of St. Matthew's Gospel, and I'm going to read to you a portion of Scripture that Jesus spoke. Now, Jesus and his words are always so great. This is one of the greatest portions of Scripture that I think has been spoken by the Lord, because it brings us into an understanding of what it takes to make it through this life. And in the book of Matthew, 7th chapter, I'm going to read to you the last few verses, from beginning at the 24th. I'd like for you to join with me. Would you do it? Let's read aloud together. Would you do that, please? And that way you'll focus on what we're going to speak and you'll remember it a little more clearly. Let's read together aloud. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. This is Matthew 7:24. I'm asking you all to read with me. If you can't read, ask somebody to read for you. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. While you're still standing, I want you to note in the reading of the scriptures, they were astonished at his doctrine. And though the simplicity of what he was teaching them is very apparent, the impact of what he was saying is more important. And what he was saying, and I think it's wise to repeat it before you're seated, if you hear and don't do, your house is in trouble. And if you hear and do, your house will stand. I'm glad we can have a house that stands. You may be seated. God bless you. Jesus here is talking about foundation, where you're building your house. If any of you have built a home, you will know how important foundation is to the security of the house. And you will remember that a good foundation is a solid place upon which to build a house. When you look at these scriptures, what awed the people and what made them feel he was teaching as one having authority was, again, let me repeat it, the simplicity of what he said and yet the power of what he was saying. And he is saying simply, if you do, you stand. If you don't, you fall. I think that's putting it very briefly, and yet in that is the whole total of what happens to these houses. Now, I want you to notice a sequence. The rain descended. The floods came, and the winds blew, and it said, beat on that house. These elements beat on that house. When the totality of elements beat on any house, it's very, very probable that it can be torn down. At the same time, Jesus talks about the spiritual house that we build. And I'm going to ask you today, where are you building your house? On what kind of foundation are you building it? And the three tests, if you will notice, came to both houses. I'm going to make it more inclusive. I'm going to make it inclusive to this extent. The tests that gave those two houses will be given your house. You have these tests. These are normal things that happen in people's lives. And when they happen in people's lives, if they don't have the fortitude to stand the storm, they're going to fail. I had four uncles. They were big, tall men. I had such a great respect for them because they were big and strong and they were all very athletic, all of them over 6 feet. A little grandmother that birthed these giants, she was 5'2", weighed about 121 pounds. It's amazing what comes out of a lady. And small as she was the giant of the family. Isn't that strange? Not nearly as tall as the boys. But, oh, what a solid structure of spiritual power she was. A praying woman. Through my young days, when I spent my summers with my grandparents, I had to go to every prayer meeting they had. I used to absolutely almost hate for the sun to come up because I knew I was going to be in a prayer meeting. And I couldn't leave her home. She said, if you stay in this home, you must come to prayer meetings. I almost changed homes. But all the elder women of the town came. And my grandmother would keep her hand on me. It was marvelous how she could keep her hand on me and talk in tongues. Because she was afraid I'd get up and leave. She'd keep her hand on me and talk in tongues. She could commune with God and keep her hand on me. I'm so glad she did. But when you look at the things that have to do with life itself, you and I have to come to a place in our walk with God that we must stand. What does it take to stand? Now, I want you to note in the tests that came to these houses, I want you to know they were tested by God, by Satan and by the experiences of life. The rain descended. When you talk about the rain descending, you're including God in the situation. The rain that comes from the heavens comes from Almighty God. He waters the earth. He uses that as an example of bringing forth fruit, vegetation, the budding of the leaves, the coming forth of the fruit. He uses that in different instances as he teaches them the great truths about Almighty God. And in this instance, he is telling them that if they don't build their house on a rock, you're going to have a house that has fallen down. I want mine built on the rock. Now, in the 11th chapter of the Psalms, I'm going to take you through the scriptures just a little bit this morning. I think that's good. It's good for you. It's good for me. In the 11th chapter of the book of Psalms, it gives us a little insight into how the Lord gives a test to those who serve him. Let me approach this by saying to you, God tests people for future leadership. He gives tests to people to find out if they got the something on the inside they'll need when the battle gets hot. And so in this instance, he's saying this, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try. This is the 11th Psalm. His eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous. Now note that. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked in him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. But he trieth the righteous. It was interesting to me, many years ago, as a young preacher, I got in with a situation where the person was going to try to destroy my ministry as an individual. I don't know if you've ever had that kind of experience. The man was very influential, and I was frightened. And I called my dad to get some support. I said, Dad, this man's going to try to do me harm, and he's got a lot of influence. He said, well, we're going to find out if you're of God or not. Very helpful. He said, you see, if you're going to be a man of God and you're going to be a leader of people, God's going to give you some tests to find out how you can handle it. Now, if you have any desires for the ministry, my dear friend, whoever you are, man or woman, yes, I do believe in women preachers. Man or woman, let me say to you, the trial that comes from God is for your edification. It's not to destroy you. The Lord does not want to destroy his people. He wants to build them up. And in connection with this very remarkable scripture in the New Testament that Jesus brought to the people, he is saying that there will be rain that descends upon you in the testing period. And the rain that descends upon you could be of all kinds of experiences. Well, I told this man that was out to hurt me and harm me, I told him I'd find out if I had a call of God or not. Well, strange as it may seem, everything he did to harm me worked for my blessing. That's always interesting to me. It's interesting to me, if you're a child of God and walking with him, even the times that he tests you, he brings blessings with it. I hope you can understand the immensity of that. He brings blessings with the test. And if you can stand the test, you're on the position or at the place where you can see the reward that comes later. If you fail the test, you are losing the privilege of being God's leader and God's preacher. And it's important for us to understand that when God tests the righteous, And the Bible says he tests them or he tries them. He doesn't tempt them. The Lord does not tempt. He tests. And he tries to see what exactly is in your makeup. Now, I don't think the Lord tries us to find out for himself what's in our makeup. I think he tries us so we can find out what is in our makeup. Because it will come to you in evidence by the test just what you're made of. If you're not made of the good stuff, you're going to fail the test. If you're not made of the good stuff, you'll never be a leader amongst God's people. But if you stand the test, if you stand the test, God will come to your aid. I have never been in any situation in my lifetime, and now it's 62 years of ministry. I've never been in any situation in my lifetime that God has not been there to help me in the time of test. I think that's great. And I'm sure that there are other preachers in this audience that could say the same thing. Never, never will you go through a test if you're God's child or if you're going to be a leader for God. You'll find that the test is not to destroy, but to develop your stamina and your strength and your position of faith in God. And after you come through the test, you can sort of stand aside and say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for bringing me through the test." I told my dad after it was all over, I said, "You know, it didn't happen. He didn't destroy me." He said, "I knew he wouldn't." And I said, "How did you know?" He said, "Because you're called of God." And I know that. He said, "If you're called of God, you don't have any fears. You will go through the test, but you don't have to be afraid." I am so glad that I am not fearful when it comes to testing. But you can have the help of Almighty God in the midst of it. And you can get the encouragement and the inspiration that comes during a testing time. That is not the only kind of thing that you run into when you are building a house upon the rock. I want you to notice that the next test for the people that are building a house upon the rock is that the floods came. Everybody say, "The floods came." All right. Let me tell you how the Bible reads that so you can understand where the floods come. Where they come from in Isaiah, the 59th chapter. I'd like for you to turn there. I'm going to read to you the 19th verse. And I will ask you to notice as I read it to you, and you're looking at it, the very effective meaning of the verse. "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." The devil's going to try you. If you've never been tried by the devil, you got something good coming. I mean, you're going to have a good old-fashioned trial. And he knows all the areas of temptation. He's been in existence for 6,000 years. He knows all the little things that cause people to turn away from God. He knows what to put in your pathway. And he knows in connection with it some of the things that are part of the sinful life. Notice in conditions filled with the matter of hate, for instance, the devil hates God's people. Let me say it again. The devil hates God's people. And he's going to try his best to make them an example of failure. But Almighty God is with you. And you don't have to be afraid. If you'll stand up and say, like the New Testament says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And it's good to use those words when he comes with his testing and his trials. Notice what the devil has in his little storehouse. And I just got a few things here, but there's so many things. There's the matter of rape. There's a murder of another person's life. There's deceit of every type. There's killings. There's envy, wrath, willfulness, spite, adultery, fornication, lying, distortion, and stealing. And number one, disobedience. And the biggest sin of all is pride. Someone said, do you know what pride is? I know what it is, and I know what it can do to people. I have seen people of the strongest spiritual character destroyed by pride. I've watched them leave the great anchor of their soul over their pride. You say, well, what is pride? Well, let me tell you what pride is. It's doing what God says not to do. You remember when he put Adam and Eve in the garden? He gave them all the blessings of the garden and said, don't touch one tree. Don't reach for the fruit of one tree. When man, through Satan, who said, you surely won't die, go ahead, eat of that fruit. And this man reached for the fruit and partook of it after the wife assisted him in getting the temptation. God help those wives. But when he did that, immediately he was cast out of the garden. What is pride? Pride is saying and doing in your life what you know God doesn't want you to do. That's pride. Pride is doing your own willful thing against what you know God doesn't want you to do. And what you're saying is, my thinking is bigger than God's. That's exactly what we're saying. My thinking is greater than God's. Well, you said I was tempted. Indeed. And the devil will tempt you every way he can to make you understand. This happened to me way back in the days of the 40s. That's so long ago sometimes I can't remember what happened. But I remember this very much. I was on a Pullman car. I was going to the next meeting I was to hold. This was before marriage. And when I was sitting on the Pullman car, I was sitting next to a soldier boy, and then there were two women across the way that were drinking hard liquor. And so they were pouring it in the glass back and forth, and one of them said, would you like a drink, sir? She turned to me and said, would you like a drink? And I said, no, ma'am, that's hard liquor. I don't indulge in that. If you got some water or some milk, I'll take that. And when I said, no, ma'am, I don't indulge in strong drink, the soldier boy said, how are you, brothers? And I looked at him. He called me by name. I said, well, who are you, sir? He told me who he was. He said, when you said you don't drink, I knew it was you. You never know who's watching. You never know who's around. You never know who you're going to stumble or who you're going to cause to get out of the will of God by your own actions. And your own actions will either bless or destroy you. And destroy somebody else in the doing. My wife often tells me, you know, Brother Urson, we've got to do the very right thing all the time, because so many are looking, and so many are watching, and so many are wondering. And it's true about you. It's true about any of you. If you've made a testimony for the Lord, there are people who will have already said about you, he won't last long, she won't make it, but I want the world to know we're going to make it. I want the world to know we're built on a rock, and that rock is Christ Jesus, and we've got a foundation that will never be destroyed. I'm glad I'm on the rock. It's not my strength, it's his strength. It's not my feelings, it's his feeling of spirit. Somebody's already said today the need of the Holy Spirit in the personal life. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life, You're lacking the great big denominator that will help you when the test comes. And the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against the enemy, the old slewfoot himself. He'll come to try you every way you can be tried. And he's got a few wrinkles in his system. He knows what tempts people, because he's the great tempter of all mankind. He's the one that wanted to be as great as God and was cast out of the heavens. He was cast out of the heavens, and with his knowledge of human nature, he puts tests in the lives of people that will absolutely destroy them. I got a phone call the other day that worried me, Brother Mooney, seriously worried me. The phone call was about one of our outstanding ministers. And they said, "Are you aware, brothers, and this man has fallen in sin?" And I said, "No, sir, I'm not aware of that." I said, "I can't believe that. That is hard for me to believe. This it was such a God-fearing man." And I said, "You're sure about it?" "Oh, it's sure, everybody's talking about it." That doesn't mean a man has fallen in sin if everybody's talking about it. That doesn't mean it. It troubled me for several days, so I picked up the phone and I called him. I said, "Is it true that you have fallen from grace through your sin?" He said, "No, sir, Brother Urshan, I have not fallen." I said, "Why did you turn in your credentials?" He said, "I didn't want a great big argument over people that are in the congregation I pastor. And I didn't want to see a great big fuss over the thing. So," he said, "I just turned in my credentials thinking that would close it." I said, "You never should have done that. Don't ever do that if you're not wrong. If you're not wrong and people are accusing you of being wrong, stand up. Stand up and say, 'That's not true. I am not guilty of such things.'" And he told me over the phone, "I'm not guilty of what they say I am." I was so thrilled, I knew he was telling the truth. Then I said, "Well, fight for your righteousness. Don't give up because somebody has made a statement." And the thing that caused the statement to be made was his daughter-in-law. Oh, God bless the in-laws and the outlaws. But this daughter-in-law accused him of the sin. And when she did, of course, it had quite a bearing. And he, with the nicest, the nice thing about people that are not wrong is their niceness. Now, you can be strong without being mean. You can stand up without being mean. You can say, "That's not right," without being mean. And so I noticed when he said, "I am not guilty of this," and I saw him after the phone call, and I stood looking at him, having heard that he was not guilty, he said, "I am going to battle for my righteousness." I said, "Don't hurt anybody while you're battling." He said, I understand what you're saying." I said, "Don't cause any feelings because you're battling, but do battle for your position as a man of God. It's important to all of us. And if you fail God and others see that you have been a failure, they're going to feel terribly bad, and we might lose souls over that." What most people do not probably realize that a minister who goes wrong has an effect on an awful lot of people. And the effect on the people is startling because people have put their trust and confidence in the man of God. Your pastor, Brother Mooney, is highly esteemed in the fellowship of the United Pentecostal Church. He's not only highly esteemed because of his ministry, but he's highly esteemed because of his character. And I think that's very important to this church. I think it's very important to this church. And I'm very happy that I can say to people, "Fine man, good man, honorable man." It's very happy for me to say that. And then it's good for others to say it. And then I'm not using him as an illustration in this instance, but any minister that fails God affects somebody deeply. And it causes terrible sadness and terrible problems that we don't expect to happen. But they happen, and we've seen that. And the devil knows that. He knows if he can trip up a preacher or some good saint of God, he's going to injure some people and they're going to give up walking with God. That's why it's important for you and I to walk straight. It's important for you to do the right thing. Don't get off on the wrong track. Stay with the truth and you come through victorious. The Lord will help you. There are those of you who may not have received the Holy Ghost, but let me tell you, the Holy Ghost is an anchor. Jesus is the rock. Jesus said to his disciples, in that day when the Holy Ghost comes, I will be in you. I am now with you, then I will be in you. So the Holy Ghost in you is Jesus in you, the hope of glory. And while you have him in your life, don't let the devil affect you. Don't let Satan affect you by deceit and by putting some kind of crazy situation before you to tempt you to sin. And this is what we come to church for, to learn what we shouldn't do. We come to the house of God to find out how to walk with God. And one of the greatest ways to walk with God is say no to the devil. And when you say no to him, you turn back the gates of hell against you. And when you say yes to the Lord, you turn the blessing of on 100 souls or hundreds of souls, because they're watching every step you take. If you're a new convert and you've just come to the church, some people are watching to see how long you last. And some people have already made predictions about you. He won't last long. She won't last long. Please fool them. Fool them. And when you hear about it, you say, I'm going to be there when the roll is called up yonder. I'll be there when the trumpet sounds. I'll be one of those that are caught up together to meet him in the air. That's what you want to do. Be ready to meet him when he comes. How many are looking for his coming? I got news for you. It's going to be a short time. He's coming for the church. And everything indicates it. And things that are happening today have never happened in the history of time before. And we're looking at the nearness of the coming of the Lord. I want to go with that group when they go up with the sound of a trumpet. And I want to be amongst those when we stand in his presence and say, thank you, Lord, for carrying me through. And when Satan comes with his diabolical temptations to try to lead you away from God, stand strong. And then let me bring you to the latter part of this. And I want you to notice it said the winds blew. The winds blew. Now, the winds are the different ordinary things of life that come to you. They come to you in different forces. And when the winds blow, it can blow all kinds of things in your direction. It also can shake your house. And the importance of being able to weather the winds is your ability to have a strong foundation. Winds cannot destroy a house that's built on the right foundation. The experiences of life cannot destroy a house that's built on a firm foundation. It is a very strong thing to have your life anchored in Jesus. Upon rock. Sister Urshan, where are you? All right, I want you, when I close, to sing that old song, Rock of Ages. Not the Rock of Ages that we all know, but that Rock of Ages that you and I know. And I want you to hear about building on the rock, what it means to get a firm foundation and a firm anchor in your life. If you give your life over to the Lord, don't change your position. If you make a consecration to God, don't change your position. If you make a commitment to the Lord, don't change your position. If the winds blow, don't change your position. No matter what happens to you in life, the Lord will see you through. And no matter what comes to give a temptation to the house you're building or to tear down your house, put your hand in his hand. I will never forget that day that storm came to our home, and I was visiting my grandmother, and those great big tall men I thought were such athletes. They got scared to death. And my grandmother was singing, I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I'll fear no wind or wave. Well, I've anchored in Jesus, for He has power to save. I'm anchored to the rock of ages. That's one of the best singing I've ever done. When you recognize the fact that you're anchored to a rock, you don't have to fear. I'm built upon a rock. Jesus said, if you build your house upon this rock, this rock. And He was talking about Himself. Build your house on this rock and fear nothing. But when the test comes, stand strong and lean on Him. He's a great leaning post. When our daughter died, I'll never forget what Sister Urshan said to me. She said, I'm going to have to lean on you. This is really hard for me to take. I said, you better be close by because I'm going to need a leaner. And when she said she's going to lean on me, I found myself leaning on her. There's something about putting your trust in the people of God and in God Himself. It's marvelous to build your house upon a rock. I wonder if you'd sing that song. Would you do that now, Sister? And I want you to hear the words to this song because it has a very deep meaning to what I'm preaching about. If you will sing that. Rock of ages, make room for me. Rock of ages, let me find my trust in Thee.
I'm on my way to a cleft in the rock, to a very special place by His side. I'm almost out of the wind and the rain, to the storm. Let the rains fall, earth shake beneath my feet. Blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in Thee. Rock of ages, make room for me. Myself in Thee. Let the winds blow, let the rain fall, earth shake beneath my feet. Blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in Thee. Rock of ages, cleft for me.
Let's stand while we're singing.
Let me hide myself in Thee. Let the water and the blood from Thy wound side which flow be a sin, the devil pure, save from wrath and make
a little higher key on Edgar then. Sing it with us, will you?
Rock of ages, let for me.
Come on, sing it.
Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side that flow be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure.
Oh God, would you receive the word today? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Come on, thank the Lord. Be glad. Be glad you're in the rock, that you know the truth. Let the rains come. Let the flood come. Let the wind come. Oh, I think somebody ought to thank the Lord. Your life is built on the rock. Oh, God. Hallelujah. We've been so deeply challenged today, really. We're blessed to have been here this morning to hear Brother Urshan preach that tremendous sermon. I hope that stays with you for a lifetime, not just for a few days or a few hours, but for a lifetime, because so much was said today. Thank you, Brother Urshan, for coming by and preaching that tremendous, challenging sermon to us. And I'd like for you just to thank Brother and Sister Urshan for sharing their ministry and lives with us again today. Thank you. Heads are bowed now and eyes are closed. There's some of us, some of you that need to gather around this altar. The prayer rooms are open. If your life is not built on that rock, what better response for you today to this sermon than for you to walk down this aisle? If you just need to reaffirm your commitment to Jesus Christ, this would be the moment to do it, because the Holy Ghost is in this house. And as we sing here gently, I wonder if you would just come, fill up these altars. Some of you that have been in the church for 20 years, this would be a good time for you to come and just say, Lord, help me to stay on the rock. Maybe things have been coming against you. The storms are dashing against your life, family, trouble, and situations. Why don't you just come? You might be surprised how the Lord would honor you if you'd just walk down that aisle today and say, Lord, I cast my cares on you right now. I come to let you know that I'm so glad I'm on the rock. He'll hear you today as we sing. Let's come. Young people, Brother Urshan's preached to you today. Why don't you fill up this altar, fill up this prayer room?
His sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
I see some of you that need to be rushing to this
moment. Christ,
you need to be coming quickly. You shouldn't even think about it.
All other ground.
Our bishop has preached to us a tremendous challenging sermon. How can we not respond? Oh God, keep me on the rock. Keep me on the rock. Help me to stay focused. I need your ministers to come and help me pray. Come on, Calvary. We're going to have a great time tonight at 6:30. Plan to be with us. I'm expecting a great time in the Holy Ghost tonight. Let's fill this place. Bring your friends. Be here tonight. On Christ the solid. God, keep your hand on those that must go. We thank you for the strength. We thank you for Brother and Sister Urshan being with us. Watch over us. Give us a great afternoon. Keep us in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. If you must go, our friends and visitors, you may consider yourself dismissed. We'll be back tonight at 6:30. These prayer rooms are still.